Chapter number 1. And I appreciate Pastor Dennis for allowing me to use his pulpit, to stand behind his pulpit and share the Word of God. Preacher, it's an honor. It's a privilege, and I don't take it lightly. And thank you so much for this opportunity. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 2. And the Bible says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Shall we pray? Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity. And we thank you for the sweet Spirit of God that is moving around and sweeping this place. Lord, thank you for already speaking to our hearts. We are already blessed and we can just probably go home and say that it's good to be in the house of the Lord. But Lord, you have given us the opportunity to once again open our Bible and gather around your holy, precious, powerful Word of God. And I pray that you will speak to us, Lord. Guide and direct us. Give me the words to speak. Anoint my lips, dear God. Hide me behind the cross that not my weakness will be seen, but your power and your glory. O Holy Spirit, move around this place and speak to the hearts of thy people. And I pray, Lord, my prayer, allow us to have a foretaste of heaven's glory, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My message this morning is just simple. A message is simply entitled, "The Church Making a Difference." The Church Making a Difference. I believe with all my heart that should be the goal of every church that preaches Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. That's the responsibility that we should carry as Christians, as group of people that have been saved through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We should be a church that will make a difference. And that's the testimony of the church in Thessalonica. And it's making a big difference. It's making a big impact, not just in their times, but it's making a big difference in our lives in the year 2016. It's giving us the story of a church making a difference. The Bible says, and some have compassion, making a difference. Church, we need to be a difference. There are people out there that needs us. There are people out there that still needs the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are Christians out there that have probably one time have seen beside you and are discouraged and are down in their spiritual relationship with Christ. Church, we need to go out there and reach these people. We need to be a church that will make a difference. In fact, that's the testimony of this church. That's why Paul wrote two epistles about this church. And Paul was so thankful. In verse number 2, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all." He says, thank you every day. Every time he wakes up in the morning, Paul mentions a prayer and mentions the church in Thessalonica. And every time he is getting ready to bed and going to sleep that night, he mentions a prayer and mentions the church in Thessalonica. That's how it made a big impact in the life and the ministry of Apostle Paul. But you know what's the key word in verse number 2? The key word is just three-letter word. It's a small word, but it's a big. It has a big message. The Bible says, "We give thanks to God always for you all," the word "all." That means everyone in that church made a difference. Everyone has a part. Everyone has a contribution. Everyone was doing the will and the work of God. It doesn't matter if we are rich or if we are poor. It doesn't matter if we are young or we are old. It doesn't matter if we are well-educated or not. It doesn't matter what color we have on our skin. We can all make a difference. If we will be willing and be glad to do so, God can use each and every one of us to be a church that will make a difference. But the question is this morning, how can we be a church that will make a difference? That's a good question. That's a good question. But Paul mentioned three things in chapter number 1 on how to be a church that will make a difference. First of all, I should hurry. You probably are hungry right now. You're looking at me. And you probably, I look like chicken tenders to you or something like that. Amen. And you're ready to go to lunch. But just hold on for a few minutes and give you three things. And we'll have those chicken tenders. Amen. First, verse number 3, the Bible says, for us to be a church that will make a difference, it involves, number 1, it involves work. To be a pastor of this church, preacher, you probably will say and agree that having a ministry like this, it involves a lot of work. And when this church had been started several years ago, it took a lot of work. And you're still doing a lot of work for you to be able to be a church that will make a difference, to shine out there, to still be a lighthouse in this dark and dying sinful world. Because it takes work to be a church that will make a difference. It's not an easy job. It's not a secular work or secular job that you're probably thinking right now. But it involves work. Verse number 3, the Bible says, remembering without ceasing what? Your work of faith. It is a work of faith. It's not a simple work. It is a work of faith. What is faith? Faith, Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't see the air that we're breathing at this very moment of time, but we believe there's air. That's why we're still alive at this very second of time. Amen? That's the same thing with God. We don't see the God that we're serving in our physical eyes, but through faith, through that spiritual eyes, we believe that God is still on the throne and He's still in control of everything. We believe that we're serving the only true living God. It involves faith. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible to please God without faith. Oh, I can wear the best suit in the world, or you can wear the most expensive dresses in the world. You can drive the most fanciest car. You can have the most beautiful house. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can come to church and probably fake it and have a smile coming in. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can have all the things and the treasures in the world. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It takes faith. It takes faith. For you to be able to support missionaries, it takes faith. For you to be able to serve God, it takes faith. It is work of faith. But the Bible says in verse number 3, it's also a labor of love. Everything that we do should be done out of love. The Bible says there's faith, there's hope, but the greatest of these three is charity. That's love. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 38. The Bible says that we should love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. That's the first and great commandment. You want to be blessed by God? You should come to church and love the Lord. We should prove to this world that we love God. It is easy to love God and prove to the world that we love God when we are on the mountaintop. Amen? When there's a lot of blessing. But let me tell you, even though we're down in the valley and life is hard and difficult, we should prove to these people that we truly love God. Amen. It's labor of love. There's a lot of grandparents, there's kids around here tonight. Can you imagine? Let me tell you an example about love. About love. You can visit a grandpa or grandma to their house, knock on the door and say, how are you doing? Good. How's the car doing? Good. How's the house doing? Good. How's the business doing? Good. Everything that he will say, it's good. But once you ask, how's your grandkid? How's little Johnny who's playing in that little league? And suddenly that face of his grandpa will lighten up and brighten up and say, oh yeah, you haven't seen that little Johnny that I've got. You have seen that that home run that he did last week. A while ago it was just good. Just nothing. But once you mention their grandkids, that person will brighten up. That shows that love for that person. And you will spending several hours with that grandparent telling about his grandkids. And he won't shut up. He won't stop talking about his grandkid. That's the same thing we should do. We say we love God, and we should not stop telling people about Him. Amen. That's love. Verse number 3, the Bible says not just faith, love, but also patience. Oh, we're living, I will say it again, we're living in a difficult world. But you know, there's a lot of people and Christians that quit serving God. You knock on the door, they're down because they have forgot to be patient. The Bible says, and have patience and run the race that is set before us. Why? It's not done yet. It's not done yet. Let us have that patience of hope. It takes work. Church, it takes work. Number two, it takes being a witness. Verse number 8, if you would please. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. The reason why this church made a difference, because what? They preached God's word. The reason this church was able to reach the place called Thessalonica and all around about that place called Thessalonica, because this church proclaimed the powerful, holy word of God. There's just churches that don't preach the Bible anymore. And you look at their churches, it's dying, dull, and dry. Why? Because they preach out of opinions of men. They preach politics. They preach things that the people don't need. The people need the speaking of God's word. Amen. The reason this church made the difference, because this church sounded out God's word. Let me share you a story. They have been asked, what is the greatest country in the world? And they said, it's United States of America. And I believe with all my heart that this is still the greatest country in the world. This is still the greatest country in the world. But they said, why? It's the greatest country in the world. They said, South America was founded by people seeking for gold. But North America, or United States of America, was founded by people seeking for God. Hey, the greatest country in the world, United States of America, this country, this nation, have been blessed by God because you stood for that faith. You stood for the Bible. And you know, for you to be able to have a revival in this great country once again, we need to go back to the basic. We need to start preaching God's word once again. And you know, you look around this place, we have so much problems in our society. You can't imagine that we will worry about and have problems about bathrooms. I never imagine having a problem like that. Amen? Worrying about it. And look at the immorality around our society, and spirituality in God is not important anymore. But let me tell you, you can probably point fingers and says, oh, it's the Republican, it's the Democrat, it's that group, it's that nation, it's that. The reason why we are having those problems in our society nowadays is because we have drifted so much away from God's word. That's it. We have forgotten the word of God. And for us to be able to be a great nation once again, we need to go back to the Word of God. We need to be a church that will proclaim the Word of God once again. People will laugh at you. People will mock you. But don't care about those people. Preach and tell them about Jesus. We need to be a witness. Lastly, and I'm done, and let's have lunch. Amen. We need to have a work, witness, and lastly, we need to have a walk. What kind of walk? We need to have a holy walk. Amen? God has a standard. Amen? The Bible says, be holy for I am holy. Let us not forget what the standard of God is. The Bible says in verse number 9, for they themselves show us what manner of entering we have unto you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. These people are idol worshippers. I remember the church that I started and the community that I'm involved in. 85% Roman Catholic. They parade these statues that they worship. They start 4 o'clock in the afternoon, finish 3 in the morning. That's how long the parade is. You can't get in and out of that city. That is the longest procession in the Philippines. That city where I started the church. But you know, these people that heard the gospel and accepted Jesus Christ said they turned to God from idols to serve the living and only true God, because they have a standard. When God changed your life, we need to be turned around. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And as he closes chapter number 1, he says, verse number 10, and this verse ought to give you an excitement serving God and give you the Baptist shout. Amen. And the Bible says in verse number 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now close. Let us have that hopeful walk. Not just a holy walk, but a hopeful walk. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now you probably have turned on your television before coming to church this morning, and you probably heard about bad news, drugs and crimes and wars and things going on and politics and all that stuff. But let me tell you good news this morning. God, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. In Sunday school with Pastor Dennis, he mentioned 1 John. And in 1 John chapter number 2, if I'm not mistaken, it says it's the last time. If John have mentioned it, it says it's the last time. It's the last time. How much more we are right now? Jesus is coming soon, friend. Church, Jesus is coming soon. And don't give up yet. Don't stop yet. Let us be a church that will make a difference, because Jesus is coming soon. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, he said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. Amen. Praise God. And with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds in the air. So, and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What a comforting words. And we'll be there in that place called heaven. There will be no more pain, no more sickness, no more dying, no more tears in the eye, no more mortgage and stuff. Amen. No more taxes in heaven. All right. No more medical bills and no more dentist appointment and doctor's appointment. No more cancer. No more pain. No more trouble. We'll be in the presence of our mighty Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know, we'll sing in that great crowd, worshiping, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And we'll praise Him day in and day out. And you know, you look over your shoulder, you see a bunch of people. Bunch of people that you have never met before. Somebody will stop by right next to you, shake your hand, said, preacher, thank you. Sir, thank you. Ma'am, thank you. Sister, thank you. Brother, thank you. Because you have prayed for that missionary. Oh, you have given so much in that ministry. Oh, you have given for that church property. For in that church property, they started building a church. And in that church, I came lost, dying, go to hell. But in that church, I heard the gospel being preached. And at invitation time, the Lord spoke to my heart. The Lord convicted me. No, I walked down the aisle, knelt myself on that altar, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. And look where I am now. I'm in the presence of Jesus Christ. I believe that's the greatest investment that we can do in our life. Business will bankrupt. Invest on car, it will break down. Invest on your house, it will earthquake or something like that, flooded. Invest on money or banks, it will be spent. But invest in a lost soul, it will last forever. You have today an opportunity to be a blessing to hundreds and thousands of people in that city, religious but lost. Don't let that opportunity pass you by. God has blessed you. God has enabled you. Be a church that will make a difference. Thank you so much. And God bless you. Pastor Dennis.